That was Sharon Shannon on Scariff Bay Community Radio's Oath and Rune St. Patrick's Day special here from the Market Square, or the Market House in the Fair Green of Scariff. And there's lots and lots of people around waiting for the parade to come from Tumgraney up to here. We have our next guest, and I'm delighted to welcome James Ryan from Mount Shannon, a film producer, no less.
Hi, nice to be here.
Tell us. What is a film producer? Everyone sees the name coming up on the credits in a movie, but explain to the listeners what a producer does, or what he is.
I would like to know that myself, actually. No, a producer is effectively like a caretaker who, from the inception of the film, the beginning of it, from the idea, right until the delivery of the project. So they basically, take charge of everything from the beginning to end, leaving the creative part to the director. But there are many different types of producers. I mean, each year there seems to be another producer. There's like co-producer, associate producer, executive producer, creative producer, development producer. There's probably about 20, 30 different producers now. It seems to be coming each year. But
for example, the last film I did, the sci-fi film. What was it called?
It was called 2036 Origin Unknown, and that came from basically one line from the director, and from that one line we took it and got a ghostwriter and created a script from it, and then from that script we got the finance, and we went from there. And so, but it's just a long process to get from A to B. But that's not always the way what a producer does. Some producers come into a project that's already been set up, and they help service that project. Lots to do on a film, and the producer's there until the very, very end. So the buck stops with him at the end, or her.
It is an important job, all right. And that explains what it is. Now, tell me, how long have you been in the film industry?
I'd say about 20 years.
20 years. Man and boy, as they say.
Yeah. I started as a production assistant, then went into camera department. My plan was to be a director. I still plan to do that one day. But I worked for about 5-6 years as a camera assistant, and went into then production after that. And then years later, I started working with my father and my brother. And so... went from there, really.
So you essentially grew up in the industry?
Pretty much, yes.
And within the industry, as we all know, it's the one industry where, you know, getting in through the family is nearly expected, and not nepotism doesn't get, I suppose, the negative twist as it might do in other industries.
Well, to saying that, my father did say to me, he said, James, don't follow my footsteps, get a proper job. Because nothing is sure in the industry. It's like you don't get a constant paycheck through the post. Anyone in the creative industry, it doesn't matter if you're working as a producer, it doesn't matter anywhere in the industry in that sense. But it is, to be honest, I wanted to do it on my own and try it without my father's help initially. And so I went off to America and I tried to work as a camera assistant, which I did do. But it is quite, it was quite silly of me not to help take some advice from my father or any help from him when he was there. So, it's actually been a joy to work with the family, even though there's been ups and downs, I can tell you.
With every family there is.
Yeah.
Creative differences, is that what they call them?
Mm. Oh, yes. I mean, I've worked with my brother and my father on a few films now. My brother's directed two of my films, which... there have been a few arguments, I must say, but we always smooth it out in the end.
That's a question I had, actually. As a producer, you're looking at the budget. Yeah. And as a director, Kit, your brother, is looking at spending as much money as he can to fulfill his dream. How do those two people meet?
Well, I always trumpet.
As the producer?
I have to give my... It's like at the end of the day, you have to give that... element of creativity, because if you take that away, then the film is just going to not be very good. So, but there is a limit to the amount of pushing the boundaries when it comes to certain spends, and where there have been creative clashes at one point. But we always get it resolved in the end.
Your mother is also included in the bevy of talent in the Ryan family. She is a scientist and also a scriptwriter.
Yes, she's actually written a lot of my father's stuff over the many years, and she even produced one of my films way back when. But no, she's written so many scripts, it's ridiculous. It's like she comes up with a new script each year, and it's just her current one that she's working on is one called Being Lost, and that's one that she wants to get into production very soon. So, which
yes.
I'm going to help get that made at some point.
We look out for that one.
We will indeed.
We should say hello to Susie now, because we know she's over in London at the moment, relaxing.
In London, yeah.
With
in London,
Chris,
darling.
A.K.A.
Yeah.
Kit. And greetings and happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone listening in London today and all around the world. So what's ahead for James Ryan now? Is there projects in the offing that you're working on?
Yeah, I've got quite a few things that I've been dabbling on. I guess since lockdown, there was a big sort of like slow period, and then the actors and writers strike didn't really help that. But there's been a lot of projects which have been sort of gathering momentum, both here and the UK, and potentially one in South Africa, as well as a TV series. But one could potentially be going very, very soon, but until everything has been signed and delivered, we'll wait on
it's
that
one. It's
best
to keep
yeah.
some. Yeah. A favourite moment on set for you as a producer?
Oh, as a producer? Oh, well, I would say when the actor turned up. So the lead accidentally... Well, not sure how accidentally, but she arrived in the UK earlier than was planned. She was going to be there to go on holiday as well as then start work, but her work permit hadn't been sorted out. So she arrived and she might have had to been turned straight back. Considering the fact that she's in every single scene, on every
it would have been difficult. Yeah,
it would have been difficult. Yes, and so we sent her. It was like we had a bit of a panic and sorted it out, and we actually sent her over here to stay for three or four days, and until the visa sorted itself, a work permit sorted itself out, and then she came back. And she came back on first day, and she did about 30 pages. It was unbelievable. I mean,
wow.
we were really behind, because we were filming as much as we could
around her,
around,
not being there.
I know the other actors. I mean, it's her and an AI robot and two other actors, which aren't as much in the film as she is. But yes, trying to work around that and shoot every single sort of object that you could—a coffee cup here or some green screen.
So was she playing to green tennis balls?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, well, she was working with the director over Skype and WhatsApp and Zoom back then. Yeah. So that's why she got the script so locked down. It was already. So she was seeing it live when we were filming it. Now, I didn't get to see much of the filming because I was inside the office. That's the one drawback from when not being on crew. You don't get to see any of the action really happening because you're stuck behind a desk most of the time. So.
That must have been an incredible relief for her to arrive.
Oh, it was.
Get out of the car and onto set.
Well, it was because what you've got to understand is we had the sets built, and we only have those sets built for a particular set of time, like 2 weeks, and a little bit spare, of course. But then if she's not there, then all that money of construction, everything is gone. Plus, you've always been paying crews and everything like that. And
you don't want them standing around?
No. Exactly.
It's like a Ryanair aircraft. A crew doesn't make any money if it's standing around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you have full financial responsibility for that, that's
yeah.
a lot.
I mean, it's like in any sort of project that you try to do, or I try to do, you try to mitigate every single problem or risk which you've encountered in the previous one. So you're like, well, I'm not going to do the full for that one this time. So you do it, but then you get to a point where it's out of your hands completely. So there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, whether actors and crew and technical problems usually cause problems on set as well. But it's great to hear that actually sometimes you can get fault-free through a whole production.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Every creative process, it has to be factored in, failure and issues and things like that, which takes, you know, great human capacity to keep thinking ahead all that time and having that level of responsibility. So it's, you know, it's quite an amazing feat.
Well, the only film that I've worked on that did it was problem free. Would probably been my father's film. Well, it wasn't without problems, but the actual filming without hitch, Brooklyn Boys, that was filmed. And the weather was perfect, spot on, every single day, sunny, it didn't rain at all, And I mean, the crew loved it. Everything was great about that project. It's one of those things that everything sort of fits in line. And obviously, there's always issues outside, but when you're actually on the set, I was actually an actor in that one, which I got cut from.
The director cut you.
The director cut you.
Yes.
His
in
own
cutting
son.
Room.
And, his own son he cut.
Let's go back to nepotism again.
I know.
The usefulness of it.
I know. It was a whole scene of me getting on a horse and say I can ride a horse, and I gallop down the beach. And yeah, he cut it out. It was that rubbish.
Okay.
I've worked as a gaffer on a couple of shorts and was cut.
Yeah. You've worked as an actor.
As a gaffer and actor.
Because
I was working for free, he cut me.
Yeah.
Right, listen, James Ryan, thanks for talking to Scarf Bay Community Radio this morning.
It's been a pleasure.
Today, and we look forward to seeing your creative output over the next few years. Living in Mount Shannon, I'm sure we'll come across you more and more often.
Okay, thank you for having me.
You had picked a song out for us. Can you tell us what it was?
Jimi Hendrix, All Along the Watchtower.
This will wake up the whole audience here and are waiting for the parade. Jimi Hendrix, All Along the Watchtower. Thanks again to James Ryan here on Scarf Bay
and
Community
Radio. And his dad, Terry, who's with us here silently.
Thank you for having me.